Hey everybody, JP, Joshua Paxton here from Marketing Edge Magazine, and today we're going beyond the print, a little behind the scenes of who we talk to get the education to bring to you the great readers and watchers of our channels, and what we do, where we find that great content. So today with me is the purveyor of Purple Bean Media and also a power striker from Tony's Painting FC, Sherry Barna. Sherry, thanks for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
So it's been fun. Now, you and I, full transparency when we go behind the scenes, we share a couple of interests. First of all, Brantford Rec soccer.
Yeah, soccer.
I'm a goalie. She's a striker. She kicks balls in my face pretty much every summer. Lit me up bad this year. I'm not that great of a goalie. And we all share an interest in your husband,
yes,
Steve Barna.
Yes. Now, I hope our interests are separate.
That's right. Your interest is a little bit greater than mine, maybe. Great man, though. Went to high school with him at Paris High.
Yeah.
And the two of you, you and Steve, you've had some really entertaining and exciting experiences doing missions together.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my cool segue to get to where you started with your social media background. So tell us a little bit about that.
All right, so in 2007, I was called and just offered a job at a nonprofit. So I took it because I was kind of bored with what I was doing and wanted to change. And so I worked there for a few years doing different positions. And the job of director of social media came up in 2012. It was November. Because everyone started to get on Facebook and it was a new thing. So they're like, we need to open up this position. This is something we need to do. So I said, I want this job. The only problem was I was like, I was a year pregnant and just about to leave for a year.
Could you reach the keyboard though?
Because that's the key part of it. I couldn't reach the keyboard. I just couldn't sit for too long. So I was like, shoot, what do I do? But I was like, you know what? I want this job. It's something I'm passionate about. It's something I love. And I'll work through my mat leave and let's work something out because I want this job. So they were like, let me think about it. They thought about it. Gave me the job. So I did that for 5 years. In the meantime, just helping friends out who started businesses or had big events happening. And then one day, just last November, I was sitting doing it all. I think I bit off way more than I could chew because it started to get a little jobby. And I said to my husband, I should be getting paid for this. And he's like, you should be getting paid for this. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to start my own business.
Wow.
So then we went to soccer the next day, and our goalie was like, you want to start your own business? You got to come to my network. We just learned about social media and no one has it. So it's like, all right, let me, I'll check it out, whatever. I'm kind of an introvert, so that was like my big step, going to a room of strangers and like telling them my idea. And they're all like, give me your card, what's your website, what's your information? And I had no information because it was just an idea.
Wow.
So I went home, created the thing, created the website, got the name, printed the business card, so I had something for next time I saw everyone, and it joined. I had my first client before I even registered the business. So I did that, and then this year in July, I was just like, you know what, doing my job and doing Purple Bean, it was just too much to handle, and something had to give, and I was like, you know what, it didn't seem like a risk at the time, although people would call it a risk, but I'm like, it's a necessary step because it's such a huge industry that's only going to keep taking over everything. So I gave my 2 weeks and said, like, it was great working with you,
yeah.
But I'm going to try my own new thing.
But even then, I think going back to 2012 and what social media was, it's 6 years ago, feels like forever at this point. Like, what you were Facebook, was Twitter a thing
Twitter
at that point
and
when
Facebook,
you started?
Not even Instagram, just Twitter and Facebook we did. So.
And the audience, 2012, 6 years ago, much younger than it is today?
You know what? My major regret is I didn't hit harder and do more, because back then you had so much reach. Everything was so cheap. Like, ads were like just kind of starting to come up.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of just statuses. It wasn't even like video and storytelling yet. It was just such a new thing that no one quite knew what to do. And now you can just like go on YouTube and figure out how to do things. Back then it was different. So it was hard, like you didn't have a guru. It was just like you're trying things, you're looking at things. Even metrics and insights, they weren't as great. Like now you can be like, okay, wow, you can break it down hour by hour basically. And like gender and jobs and all these things. Back then it was just so different.
Well, it's the hard work, though, of people like yourself that's allowed me to gain any kind of education, because we stand on the shoulders of greatness. So you paved the way there in 2012, figuring things out, creating that YouTube content for us to go and learn now in 2018. And it's like, everybody can have their own channel. Everybody can tell their own story.
Yeah.
But in that sense, not for profit. What was the big communication you were trying to do at the time of not for profit?
Not for profit. We are in a weird like age right now where storytelling is so huge, and that's why people connect with movies and television shows, like especially the ones with the characters, like and character development, things like that. The same thing goes to businesses, first of all. The good commercials are the ones that have a little bit, like, do you remember the IKEA commercial and it was a lamp?
The lamp? am.
He gets put on the thing, we're all, and it's sad music with the violin. And we're all like sad because it's like, what's happening? Oh, it just got thrown out. And then the dude's like, don't be sad for me, I'm a lamp. And then I was like, that is advertising. And that's what nonprofits need to start focusing on. Storytelling and transparency. Mm-hmm. There's like, we live in an age where, especially the millennials now, they want to know where their money's going, who it's helping, and what it's doing. They don't want to give blindly, like maybe past generations were willing to do. So that's something I really worked on. Just like, you know what, let me create annual reports, let people see where the money's going, let people see the people they touch. Because all this money is going, it's really making a change. And I knew it because I got to visit them, but do our donors know it?
Right.
And so that's what I thought, that's what social media, originally I'm like, social media is great, it's a storytelling platform, and they can connect with these people and say, this is the kid you helped, this is the mom who doesn't have to walk for water anymore.
Right, you're not waiting for that once a year letter at Christmas time that says, hey, here's the person you've affected.
Exactly.
You can do it in real time and have that personal connection.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about social media for business now, because in Marketing Edge we've got a lot of business readers, everybody from small community businesses up to major corporations across Canada and the United States, even across the world, we understand, they're following, they're listening. What is the big difference then? Because if not-for-profit is about personal connection, I would think businesses are trying to get that same type of relationship.
Yeah, you know what? Businesses really have to like shift from the traditional model of advertising to, it's the storytelling people. Things. People connect with people, not with brands. So that's why like Nike, Coke, that's why they pay Michael Jordan the big bucks to wear the shoes, to like drink the pop or whatever. Because we connect with people, we do not connect with brands and faceless things. So when, as like a brand, it's so important to have a figure that people can connect to, and a face of the organization. Say, hey, this is why we do what we do.
And actually to that point too, is you see a lot of content going on social media, or at least I have, that doesn't even have a face. You're throwing up product images or specials and things people are putting up. That seems to be counterproductive to what social media is.
Yeah, it's 100% counterproductive. Images with faces get way more, and I can't think of the percentage. It's like, it's a high percentage of more engagement, more likes, more comments when it has a face in it than when it's just an image. So like someone wearing a shirt is a lot better than just the shirt.
Right,
because we're trained to stop. We like, as soon as we're born, we see smiling faces. We still like that. We like the pause. We're like, this is nice.
We want people, and when you're developing that content, thinking about it, back to your point about the IKEA commercial with the lamp, I'm a big fan of Supergirl. I admittedly a bit of a comic book geek. And watching an interview, I think it was director Kevin Smith, talked about that they came from a Joss Whedon era where there are the three H's that they strive for, which is heart, humor, and hero. And when I think to that lamp, I think, you know what, that's what they're doing there. You're pulling on the heartstrings, you're adding a sense of humor, and you're trying to give them that good feeling of overcoming a challenge in some sense as a hero. So there's maybe something you can apply as you develop your own content in social media.
Yeah.
So to that end, we've got content as an idea. When you started 2012, Facebook, a little bit of Twitter, there's a lot more platforms out there right now, and it continues to change. What should businesses be focusing on in 2019? Where's the hotspot for the business model?
All right, in my opinion, hotspot's still Facebook. Facebook is just, it's a monster, it keeps growing. I think Facebook's gonna continue to be huge until maybe the leadership gets passed on from Zuckerberg to someone else. But that guy, he sees competition raising and he just buys them. So he saw Instagram, that could be like something that takes away people from Facebook. He's like, here's $1 billion. And everyone's like, $1 billion? I'm like, that's actually a good price, because Instagram was on the rise, and Instagram just hit 1 billion users this past year.
Wow.
So it's growing, but Facebook kind of took it.
And are they connected in some way? Because I've noticed with Instagram, I can post to Instagram and have that option to say, throw it to my Facebook, my Twitter at the same time.
Yeah, you can do that. I personally don't do that, because when people go on Facebook, they're expecting something different than when they go on Instagram.
Okay.
So it's all psychology. Like when I go on Instagram, I'm expecting beautiful pictures, things like that. When I'm going on Facebook, I'm expecting a little bit different. So I always take the time to separate it personally.
So taking a step back from my business question, let's go back to the basics then. Instagram, big, colorful, engaging images. That's the focus for Instagram. That's what you want to draw.
Instagram, you want the nice images that the whole goal of social media is to stop the scroll.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have something nice and pleasant to look at, we pause, we're like, that's nice.
Okay.
And that's the trick of advertising. That's when like the kind of the cream rises to the top. Those people who can make you stop and make you actually like, first of all, stop the scroll and make it so like beautiful and like storytelling-ish that people don't even realize they're being sold to.
Okay.
Because gone are the commercials where it's like, you need to buy this. We're like, we're like, no, we'll decide what we want to buy,
right,
when we want to buy it. And guess what? We're going to know all the information before we buy it.
And that's that influencer role,
yeah,
right? We're talking influencers and engagement and endorsement. Basically, it's just inspiring you to make the decision to want it yourself rather than having it pushed on you.
Yes, we don't like being told what to buy. And like that's why I think even like television, so many people I know are getting rid of cable. Because they're like, don't tell me to sit at 8 on Wednesday to watch Survivor. I'll watch Survivor when I'm ready to watch Survivor. And that might be Saturday morning on my phone.
So if Instagram is very visual and photo-based, and we're talking about Facebook, the evolution, when you started, lots of small
yeah.
content, you're doing posts, video? Is that
video is
the
so
next
big.
Step of beyond photo?
Yeah, I would tell everyone, like, as much as it's good to focus on, like, what platform to use, I'm saying how to use it, video, 100%. Zuckerberg last year came out in January and said, listen, we want Facebook to be a video platform. And he's taken steps in the past year to make that happen. So Canada just got Facebook Watch. It's basically like a little TV station on your Facebook. So
we can start choosing our content, subscribing to individual shows and
yeah.
channels
and
as opposed to networks.
Yeah, and the algorithm knows what you want. So like, I love Jimmy Fallon, so guess what's in my feed? Jimmy
Constant.
Fallon.
Or Jimmy
right?
Fallon
they're,
like.
Yeah, they're like, they're pushing that content because
okay.
that's what I stop to watch. So whatever you stop to watch, if it's like tech tools or like whatever,
mm-hmm.
that's what's going to be fed to you.
So talk to me about the content then when we're doing these videos. Authenticity, that's another word I've heard Mark Zuckerberg say, is they're trying to write their algorithms to find authentic images.
Yeah.
Can a company go overboard? Is there such thing as being too polished and too produced in social media?
You know what, some things are nice to see produced, but like when people are going on Facebook, they're not expecting the Avengers, they're expecting like a handheld, hey guys, what's up, video
okay.
type of thing. And you can be inauthentic even when it doesn't. Like, even
great pull,
jet.
By the way, to drop Avengers in. That went to my heart, I gotta tell
exactly.
you.
Exactly. So, I know my audience here. So, that's the thing. Like, you know what? The nice videos, once in a while, I would 100%, it depends on the business, I would say do nice, polished videos.
Mm-hmm.
But do not let that stop you from publishing videos.
Okay.
So, you know what? You need two good things for a good video. One is content. If you're saying what people want to hear, if you're giving them value, they will watch. Number two is audio. People don't want to work too hard to listen to what you have to say.
Okay.
So make it easy for them.
Keep it
simple.
Yeah.
So
videos, we are a promotional products magazine first and foremost. Marketing Edge is all about premiums and incentives and branded merchandise.
Yeah.
Where is the fit for those products in a social media world?
If I were to talk to someone, I would say get somebody to wear your shirt, drink your coffee mug, whatever. Because I think influencer marketing is the new celebrity. Influencers are the new celebrities. My kids from YouTube, they know these like specific slime people. So they're like, do you know this person? Do you know that person? I'm like, no. And so when we grew up loving like maybe, I don't know, like Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell.
Yes, yes.
These kids are loving like these YouTube stars and these YouTube families. So influencer marketing, huge, and underpriced right now because it's
oh.
so new. So you might have one influencer who might be like, yeah, give me $100,000. And you can call three more. And the next one will be like, yeah, just give me a free coffee mug.
Okay.
Like, because no one knows how to price themselves. It's a new industry.
So I'm failing right now because I do not have Marketing
yes.
Edge on a sweater. So note to self for the next round of videos. But for those of you interested, this is a hoodie from StormTech and a polo from Technosport. Actually, it's a Nike golf polo. So if I can influence you, go to those. They're very comfortable and you look nice. Maybe not as much in the middle, but you'll be fine. So we're talking about fitting products into things. What else can we use products for? We've got the idea of we want influences. What about contests? What are some of the challenges around contests in social media?
Yeah, right now there's huge challenges because of the like authenticity thing, and Facebook's a business. They want businesses to pay them money, and businesses found a way around that by saying, hey guys, like my page, tag your friend, and we'll enter you with this content. So that gave them huge reach, and I honestly don't think Facebook liked that.
Okay.
So what they said is, we're banning that kind of contest thing. So when you put, Facebook has the algorithm, if you're saying contest in your thing, they can pick that up. So they will, they'll limit your reach at best, and at worst, they can suspend it or ban your page.
Wow.
So I tell everyone, stay away from the contest, because unless you do it perfectly right, and it's kind of, there's hoops to jump through, you're risking a lot.
Wow. So what's a different way to go about it then, to create that engagement away from the contest world?
So something I did last week for a customer, and I can't believe how well it worked, is we went and my friend Trevor did a live video from the store saying, hey, it's
oh.
half off all candy.
Okay.
And it went like just around record like crazy. It had like 1,500 views. I don't even know, over 100 comments, and people are going, but most importantly, people are coming into the store, and the owner is like, oh my gosh, some guy just dropped $100. My friend's like, hey, I didn't even know that store existed. I bought a tea and candy. I spent like $80.
Wow.
And it's just like, he's like, it just came through. So
it's that open endorsement.
Open endorsement. And it was a live video. It got out there. People loved it because everyone wants a deal, especially at this time of the year. And I think things like that, and that's kind of influencer marketing, because we put it on his personal friend account, and he has maybe 1,000 friends, so like 1,000 people in Brantford got the notification if they were online, hey, Trevor's live right now. So they watched it right away, and it was like, I want candy.
Now, we're early in our Beyond the Print development for Marketing Edge, so we did not go Facebook Live on this video. Maybe that'll be something to strive for, and as people get more comfortable, what would you tell somebody who's watching this or other videos and says, I want to do that for my business, but I can't get behind the camera? How do you get around that? Do you bring somebody else in?
You know what, you can do two things. One is your first live will not be good, and that is just what it is. No one's first live is good, because most people get nervous when the camera's in front of them.
Right.
So what I do personally is I take my camera, I record myself, so you get used to like the countdown with the blinking light, and I just kind of run through what I'm going to say. And I like to have a plan. I don't like speaking off the top of my head, especially at the beginning. I was like, And then the second thing is, don't overanalyze yourself. Don't watch it too many times. Have grace for yourself, because no one's watching you and being like, oh, she just stuttered like 3 times in 1 minute. No one thininks that, right? Because in real life, we stutter because we're like, oh, what was I saying? Or, oh, I forget what I was supposed to. So it's just...
It's that beeping sound while you're processing. I think now we just call it the buffering noise. Buffering.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's, to me, I'm just like, you know what? Everyone relax. No one is watching to, and if they're leaving mean comments, that really says a lot more about them than you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just having the confidence to be like, why do I care what like weird Canuck 2014 said, and it said like I'm ugly or something, or like your content sucks, because it's like, okay, you're dying for some pain.
Right.
So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're doing.
Please don't leave mean comments. I'm very sensitive and I'm new to this, so I won't be able to take Sherry's advice of not taking it personally. So right now we figured out, we're talking about visibility on Instagram, big pictures. Facebook, if you can, get to video, because that's going to be the wave of the future. When you're going to shoot video, make sure you've got product placement logos on your apparel to identify you, where you're from. If you can get those product drops in of your, as you said, coffee mug or backpack in your video, and more importantly, in someone else's, because I imagine that's the next part is, if I can put a mug on that guy's desk who I know is doing a channel, and it becomes part of his, that's, again, that endorsement piece.
Oh, 100%. If I had like a clothing line or a product that I could like hard sell to people,
mm-hmm.
I would be paying people around here, or it depends if I want to go worldwide or Canada-wide,
mm-hmm.
and I'd be like, wear my shirt, I'll give you like $100, or I know for one client, she does nails, so I said, hey, why don't we give free nails, like a free manicure away? And all the person will have to do is just document the thing. Like, hey guys, I'm here at the salon. It's just simple things like that. Because it's especially local, like you're getting people being like, oh, that's so-and-so, where's that? And the bigger the company, the bigger you can, you know, spend, more money you can spend on influencer marketing. It's a type of marketing.
And again, building a word that we haven't brought up is expertise. And I think that's the big part for any business right now, is showcasing how you are an expert in whatever it is that you're trying to offer. I'm the best barista. I make the best London fog tea, which I have to tell you here at the Blue Dog, our top secret meeting place. It's fantastic. My first ever London fog tea. It's great. But again, from a promotional standpoint, maybe... those people that are representing promotional products, the opportunity to sit down with their clients, shoot a quick video like this in an office. Hey, tell me about how happy you are with this. Maybe find on Facebook, find those feeds that your clients are following, and look for the product placement inside and point it out to them when you see it.
Yeah.
And for those major businesses, well, they've got big marketing departments. If we've inspired you in any way, that's great too. But we'll be watching your feeds to see what you can come up with. Again, Sherry Barna from Purple Bean Media, and JP, Joshua Baxton, Marketing Edge Magazine. We'll see you next time when we go Beyond the Print.